Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
All right, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to ENN on this Thursday evening. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael
Guttlers.
Then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Don and Peter with you until 7, and then we are going to have the great Brewers-Pirates game coming up at 7 o'clock.
So there's a lot to get to. Number one.
Peter, very quickly.
I bet you're going to say the same thing I'm going to say.
Okay, you do it. It's your show.
Thank you. Everybody is on Twitter reminding us the other camera story was Bill Murray at Madison Square Garden. Is that what you were going to say, Michael?
But it wasn't that the camera wasn't rolling. The cameraman, I didn't tell the cameraman to roll. That was no one's fault because Bill didn't give us okay before he went into his...
That's
right.
That's right. That's true. That is different. But is that what you were going to say?
Yes.
Also, before I even get into anything, we didn't talk about this yesterday, so I'll take the blame for it. Last night, did you know that they ran on ESPN the 98 All-Star game?
No, I didn't know that.
So the game that we saw, of course, in The Last Dance the other day, the Michael Kobe All-Star game, they ran it in its entirety yesterday. So I joined in too late, and I was frustrated. So I searched on YouTube, and the entire game was up on YouTube. You guys have to watch it. It maybe it's up on ESPN Plus right now. If not, go find it on YouTube. First of all, I don't know about you guys because you guys were older than me. So Andrew and I have discussed this. The backdrop of all the Jordan drama around 98 was kind of, even though I was like a freshman in college in 97, 98, I was watching basketball, absolutely, but I wasn't dialed into like all of the Bulls drama. So listening to it covered in the intro to the All-Star game is incredible. Just the throwback of very young Hannah Storm and John Sally doing the pregame. And then do you guys know who calls that game?
The 98 All-Star game?
Yep, it's on NBC.
Is it Costas?
Costas is one.
Magic?
Magic pops up, but it's not Magic. It's
Portello?
It's Costas, Bill Walton, and Isaiah Thomas.
Wow.
So after we just watched what we watched about Isaiah, and then you see that Isaiah's the color commentator, and guys, at one point during the game, they toss to Ahmad Rashad for a story on the sideline about the team in Barcelona, and Walton just casually goes, "Isaiah, I know you were very upset about not going to Barcelona." It's unreal. It's unreal. And then at one point, Magic comes in and starts speculating about what's going to happen to Phil Jackson. It's a fascinating watch. And then the one really frustrating part is, as you're watching the end of the game and all you want to see is Kobe go off, and on YouTube, you know, it doesn't look that good, I keep seeing what I think is Kobe shooting, and it's all Eddie Jones. I mean, he just won't stop shooting. The man shot 1,000 times in that game. But really fun stuff. And either of you guys remember what team Sean Kemp was on in that All-Star game?
Kemp was a Cavalier.
See, that's what makes Don the greatest at what he does. That's what makes him an all-time great professional broadcaster.
And that's his fourth sport.
Probably it's his fourth sport. He didn't even have an interest in the All-Star game. They said, oh, it's Kobe versus Jordan. He said, I'm good. But still knows.
You could clearly see there was a period where it wasn't four.
Right. Yes, because that was your net season ticket era almost.
Now, my brother had the season tickets, but I go with him all the time.
Well, that means your season tickets are Jays.
Yes. I always had a date, though.
And also, one of the last thing that's fascinating about that All-Star game is I didn't remember how much real-life conversation there was in the media in that moment about Kobe is the next Jordan. It was like the whole storyline that they were leading up to the game with. And then they interview Kobe before the game starts on the court. He's just so young. He sounds different. He hadn't perfected his like Michael Jordan impersonation voice yet. And in the middle of the interview on the floor at the Garden, Jack Nicholson comes up and interrupts and is like, can I get your autograph? It's unbelievable. The whole thing.
That's a good Jack. I've never heard you
thanks.
Do that.
Thanks.
Yeah,
that's
that
right up with your Marty McFly.
Thanks, Doc. And by the way, Muhammad Ali is sitting courtside. I mean, the whole thing's incredible. The 98 All-Star Game, incredible.
And I helped get that All-Star Game there with the Bill Murray interview.
I heard that. Yeah. Now, Earl Thomas, the former Seahawk, now Raven, had an interesting situation with his wife, Nina. Nina was arrested April 13th. So this is already a month old. After an altercation, okay? Her lawyer says she was wrongfully arrested. But as it goes, Earl Thomas was having a sexual encounter with a woman who is not his wife, another woman seemingly, and his brother. They were all in an Airbnb house. His wife found out somehow on Snapchat locations.
The nudes are back.
She showed up at the Airbnb with a gun.
Now, can I stop you, Peter, because you know this stuff better than me. How could she have found out through Snapchat? Was Earl taking pictures throughout all this?
My guess is he snapped something.
Not he did.
Not the... So many ways to take that.
Well, there's only one.
Not the action, but he may have snapped something else. And so it popped up. I haven't been on Snapchat in a few years. But my guess is you can see where he was, even though he didn't show what he was doing. He might have, like, snapped something else. And she was like, wait, where are you?
And I guess, shelter at home didn't matter to Earl. They had a little bit of a fight, and he just left and went to an orgy.
You don't know that it was a fight?
They had an argument that he was drinking too much.
Oh, wow. But it was still obviously a planned orgy.
But I believe that
I don't know if it. Maybe it was an off-the-cuff orgy.
No, but I think all four participants had their temperature taken before they entered the bedroom.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That was among the people there was someone standing at the door taking temperature.
Yeah.
See, that's responsible to me.
Yes.
Let's hear from Earl Thomas, who went on IG to try to explain a little bit.
So my agent just hit me and said that I'm going to be on TMZ tomorrow from an altercation that happened with me and Nina. So just wanted to get ahead of it. And I mean, it's really not anybody's business. It's pissing me off that it got out, but it's the world we live in today. But instead of talking about this, just keep us in y'all prayers. And stuff like this happens, bro. You know, we try to live the best lives we possibly can, but sometimes it don't go as planned. Just pray for us, you know, as we go through this stuff. You know, we're back talking. I'm seeing my kids. So just keep us in your prayers.
Now, Michael, you've made clear the Thomas family will not be in your prayers.
No, I think there's many more important things to pray for. You know, number one on the list is, you know, COVID 19 vaccine. That would be way ahead of Earl and his family and, you know, getting through this ugliness. So, yeah, he will not be on my prayer list.
It's unfortunate. Now, the Ravens are aware of it, and they said this is really not a big deal. Usually it's our players that are the ones accused of the serious violent act. Ayo!
They didn't say that.
No, they did not. But they are aware of this incident.
Well, everybody's going to wear it. It's going to be on TMZ if it's not already.
I just love that even though he'll have a four-way with his brother.
Strange.
And gunplay, but, you know, pray for me. You know, religion is still very, very important in the
I keep thinking
there.
Of Don and his brother Dave, if something like this went down with the two of them and they'd both be holding those fat heads that people have of them as, you know, they were taking part in this.
Oh, that would be big.
Yeah.
But there's the awkwardness, not that I can't speak for Michael because he's got a tremendous past, or Peter for that matter, only speak for myself. Having never been involved in any of these things, I just don't think I would be very comfortable performance-wise with
me
my
neither.
Brother
oh,
there.
Oh, God.
Right?
Oh, it's the whole thing so awkward. You know, I would just like to say this right now, to each his own. There's a certain level of readiness that one needs to perform in a situation like this. And I would just want to say, nothing could kill my readiness for that more than the sight of one of my immediate family members.
Yeah,
nothing.
Your brother's
a cool guy, though.
What does that have to do with my performance?
Why would you be intimidated by your brother?
No. There's the mood that one needs to be in to perform in this setting is a certain kind of mood. That mood is, it works exactly antithetically to seeing my family. Don, does that make sense?
Back in 2002, your family had a whole Eyes Wide Shut party.
No, I've never said anything like that.
No, I thought
I've absolutely never said that.
Mindy was serving drinks. I heard the whole thing.
You know what? You're treading on very thin ice, Mr. K.
Father's mother of Jace.
Now,
George McGovern was there.
On a more serious note, our very own Todd McShay spoke finally about his battle with COVID-19 and missing the NFL draft.
I was just gone, and it got really dark in the hospital when I was just, it was just by myself, and I knew the draft was going on, and I couldn't watch it. I didn't watch the draft until Saturday night. I woke up late that night, and there was a re-air, and I started watching it then because I knew it was over. And I, for whatever reason, I couldn't watch the draft knowing that I wasn't being a part of it and wasn't on it. And I felt like I was letting everyone down.
That was on Adam Schefter's podcast.
You know what's shocking to me? You know, he goes on later in the interview. He had, after the interview, he was heading back to his home. He had not hugged his children. He had not seen his children since April 1st. So I have no idea the medical history of Todd McShay. He looks like a young, healthy guy, and this knocked him on his backside for 6 weeks. He was in the hospital.
Yeah.
Well, what would you say? McShay's got to be late 30s, mid 40s, maybe?
Yeah.
So it does hit people other than older people and, you know, the people that have severe underlying conditions.
He spoke about what you just said on the Schefter podcast. Let's hear another clip.
I'm heading down there to see them today. For the first time since April 1st, and I mean, I can't even imagine the hugs. You know, there's probably going to be some tears, and like, it's been so long, man. It's been so long. Just being alone by myself. Lo flew home to make sure that I got, you know, to treatment and got taken care of, and then flew back down to be with the kids. But it's been, I don't know, what's today? We're in May, so
May sixth.
Yeah, so we're talking, you know, almost 40 days, close to 40 days without them, and it's been tough on them, and they've been great, but I'm gonna squeeze those kids so hard when I see them.
He's 43 years old. Is Todd
43 years old,
and that's the thing that, you know, I want to say to all those people that just focus on the death rate. All right, that is something that is obviously very, very significant. But even if it went down to zero, does anybody want to catch something where they're going to be away from their family for that long a period of time, be in the hospital for that long?
And if you're in the hospital that long and you're obviously battling, I would assume, breathing problems, you don't know what the long-term ramifications are. So we talked about this last week. You know, you could quote-unquote survive and still have ramifications down the line. Nobody is got a force field around them with this. Nobody, and you're reading now that kids are also in danger. They're coming down with problems because of coronavirus, and that was the people. That was the segment of the population that wouldn't be touched.
Yeah, multiple inflammation, something like that. Yeah, there's like 15 in New York City, and they think there might be a connection to COVID-19. We're going to find out so much more when this is all said and done. So, yeah, the death rate is going down. I know a lot of the people that are dying right now might have been on ventilators in the hospital for a month. So we're probably not going to know exactly where we stand as far as people that have gotten it recently and what the survival rate is. But those people who say, oh, you know, the same amount of people die of the flu. Okay, but I don't remember people like being in the hospital for 40 days because of the flu.
I'm done even. There's not even an acknowledgement for people who say that.
But it keeps coming up.
Well, then we need to stop talking to morons.
No, but so. but not morons.
Morons.
I think Scott Boris is a moron, but again, he just comes down like with, oh, well, you know what? Professional athletes won't die from this, or the percentages are very,
but that's
very,
not the same
low.
As saying it's the flu.
Right, but no.
Because pro athletes likely wouldn't die of the flu either.
But just the whole idea
or anything
of,
else.
Well,
I mean,
listen,
any sort of
virus. Chase 43, right? And from what we know, is physically fit. So who's to say that he's in any more of a different condition than, like, some lefty specialist coming out of the bullpen? Right?
You know, I don't know if you feel like this, Don. But you're younger than I am, and Peter's much younger. But I'm, like, ticked off that I'm in the age where it's dangerous. I'm ticked off.
Well,
I never felt like I was old. I don't think like I'm old, but I'm 59, and that's not something that, well, if he gets it, he'll be fine. No, you can't think like that. I'm in that risky demo. They say, well, 60. Okay, I'm 7 months away from that. So I'm not rolling the dice and going and getting sick. So we can restart our economy for our grandchildren. Let them take care of it.
Let's talk about something we all can enjoy.
Please.
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Watch.
So, Tiger, how did you play today?
Well, got off to kind of a slow start.
Do you feel like you're back to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
May 24th, 3 p.m. Tom Brady, it's going down, all right? You are getting Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson against Peyton Manning and Tiger Woods. It's happening in Florida. It's going to be on TNT, TBS, True TV, HLN. They're going to be mic'd up throughout the day, and the event organizers have pledged $10 million to COVID-19 relief funds. Let's hear from Peyton Manning on TNT talking about his competition.
The course, you know, the tournament had to be in Florida. You know, after Tom's B&E arrest, you know, with the ankle monitor, he couldn't leave the state, so it had to be in Florida. Tiger and I talked to the sheriff in Tampa. He's going to be allowed to go to Palm Beach to play. I'll be honest, I've never played Tom very well on his home turf, and so maybe this is considered a neutral site, and I would have loved to have had this tournament in a place where they don't like Tom very much, Indianapolis, Denver, Boston, you know, after he just betrayed them and broke their hearts. So Palm Beach is the best we can probably do. Look, I think the teams are fair. I think, you know, Phil chose the right partner in Tom together. You know, they have 11 championships. Tiger and I have 17, the way I count it, right, Tiger?
Wow.
I'm going to enjoy it. I'm sorry. It's going to be funny. It's going to be a good time.
And I think on that show also, they were, you know, trying to goad Tiger, and he had his Masters jacket and just took it on screen and put it on. That was his comeback.
You had to like that.
I love it.
That's right up your alley. Giannis Antetokounmpo's social media was hacked.
Oh no,
I saw this.
And he said a lot of inappropriate things, not him, including that he's going to the Warriors. But apparently it wasn't just his Twitter account. His bank accounts, everything got hacked. So
scary.
Very scary.
So the Greek freak may be a freak, but he wasn't saying those things.
Somebody on Twitter said, maybe your password shouldn't have been Greek freak.
It was Greek underscore freak.
Oh, see, if you put underscore in, nobody's going to get that password.
Isn't it the worst? You do Greek underscore freak 33, and then like, oh, no, you also need a number and an exclamation point. It's too much. Passwords are the bane of my existence.
Do we know some of the things that were tweeted? Anything?
I can't find the inappropriate things.
He ripped LeBron in one of the tweets.
There were more than a dozen tweets of different levels of inappropriateness.
Did you see that Twitter is going to put in some kind of a filter that if you put objectionable comment in a tweet and you hit send, that there will be a little sign that pops up? You might want to reconsider this because previous language like this have gotten people taken off of Twitter.
I like that.
Because they say a lot of people on Twitter, that they're in an angry state when they send something nasty like that. And if they have a time to consider it, they might not do it. So I think that's going to be implemented soon.
That's a good idea. That will cut down on some, right? Give you that extra second, that extra beat to think twice.
The best advice I ever got with Twitter is if you have to think whether it's cool or not, just hit delete.
He said the fake Giannis called the Bucks a racist team, said they call me, said horrible racist things. Then he said, F Chris Middleton, I want to play with some actual shooters. Bleep King James, he tried to hire a hitman on me.
Wouldn't it be funny? It wouldn't be funny that it was actually Antetokounmpo. Then he said, ooh, this doesn't look good. Let's say I got hacked.
Oh, my gosh. Then there's more racist. Oh, my God. It gets horrible. It's really. Now I know why they weren't writing about it. This is all horrible. I mean, the racist stuff is really bad. Anyways, hopefully he got control of everything. Klay Thompson was on, what is this, a podcast, Above the Waves? It's okay, so here's...
I think that's a twin podcast with Windhorse at Sea.
And here's Klay saying he can't stand when people think the Warriors dynasty is over.
I want to get back healthy 100% because I want to make sure this never happens again. It just kills me inside when I see these other teams... So many talking heads and some of my peers saying the dynasty is over. They had a great run. I have so much more to give this game. But patience definitely builds character.
Wow. Yeah, that was like a little promo for his recovery.
Very well-produced podcast.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that. On this day in 1995... Reggie Miller scored 8 points in a nine-second span.
Wasn't that a question on last one standing?
Sure, that's right. Pacers beat the Knicks 107-105. Also on this day, 4 years ago.
Malone looking for his first hit of the year. Oh. He drives one deep left field. Back goes Upton. Back near the wall. It's out of here. Bartolo has done it. The impossible has happened. The team vacates the dugout as Bartolo takes the long trot, his first career home run, and there will be nobody in the dugout to greet him. This is one of the great moments in the history of baseball. Bartolo Colon has gone deep.
I want to say that was one of the longest home run trots I've ever seen, but I think that's how fast he runs.
Bart Colon hits his home run 4 years ago.
That was so cool.
What a fun moment that was. And by the way, speaking of fun, that'll do it for ENN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.